On today's episode of The Sip, we address why we're leaving. Plus, we're calling you at home to solve your problems on our show. Hello, you guys, and welcome to another episode of The Sip. I'm Ryland Adams, of course, joined by
Lizzie Gordon.
And unfortunately, this is our very last episode of the year.
It's giving me indigestion.
I will take all the blame for this. And Lizzie was like, well, let's just bank some episodes. But I really take pride.
I tried to go there for you guys.
I take pride in how much energy and time we spend into all aspects of the production of this show. And I just thought that would be a disservice. And because I'm jumping ship for the holidays, I'm just saying, like, let's come back fresh in January, book some major guests, hopefully,
fingers crossed,
and we'll continue to party on then.
But major guests. It's my mom.
Honestly, that would be everything.
I don't think that should be a thing.
I think that would be so amazing. I know you've had quite the ride for the last 48 hours.
I'm tired. I'm a mess.
Tell everybody what's been going on.
We had a slight COVID scare at my house. And just in the effort, like the interest of being super safe, like nobody in my house was diagnosed with it. But, you know, kept 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, I just decided to leave and stay in a hotel room to like preserve my health. And I thought my sanity, but like, quite frankly, I'm losing my goddamn mind right now.
And here, it's a privilege to be able to go stay in a hotel.
It is definitely a privilege.
But it was definitely spooked.
This was a spooky ass residence that I was staying in. And like, honestly, I was like, I'm not going to go spend mad money on this stuff. Like, I'm going to go to a cheaper place that's under $100 a night. And like, it's fine. And then it's like, it's not fine. It is not fine. There were no blankets. I'm not even kidding. There was just a sheet and this, like, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's like, for the single men out there who have never had a woman in their lives, like, guaranteed, this is the blanket you have on your bed. And it is not a fucking blanket. And you not only use it as a blanket, but you also use it as a curtain.
That like, is, like, my straight brother, before he got married, I think used a bin tipped over for his coffee table for like 10 years. Not because he couldn't afford a new coffee table, but because it didn't matter to him.
Standard bachelor behavior.
So definitely the same type of blanket.
So I'm cold as fuck sleeping in my fucking industrial jacket. I was like waiting to shower because I only wash my hair on Mondays. So I like didn't get in the shower this morning. I turn it on. There's no hot water. I let that bitch run for 30 minutes and there was no hot water. So I took a freezing cold shower.
Honestly, that's supposed to be very good for you.
That's what I kept trying to tell myself, but like it didn't feel good. Like it really hurt my feelings. Like emotionally, I was like, like the whole time, like it hurt. And then as I'm checking out, the guy at the front counter looks at my ID and he goes, "You're 30? You turned 30 this year? What was that like? Did it suck? Did it suck turning 30 in quarantine?" And I was like, "Yes, sir, it did. Can I go now?" Like, what? He's like, "I might turn 30 in quarantine. What was that like? Like, let me know." And I was like, I cried all day. I cried all day.
Just because you couldn't do anything? Are you a birthday person?
I'm not a birthday person, but like, it blew ass turning 30 in quarantine. And not only that, but like, and I don't hold this against anybody because I know you're specifically guilty of this. Everybody forgot my birthday.
It was in the height of coronavirus where we were all scared.
And then a week later,
I panic texted you.
The only reason why I know your birthday is because I can Google it. And 1 year it came out at the same time as a Selena Gomez record. So I remember it's like close to my birthday, probably in May. I couldn't tell you when it is right now, but I get nervous. Maybe it was Demi. It was the Demi record that came after the Selena Gomez that was just a Gomez.
Your pop timeline is not doing it for me.
I don't get out much. Like, I'm not okay right now. I'm fucking tired. And not only that, but like, I wanted to do some hot girl shit while I was in this hotel. And I went out and I got $50 worth of Olive Garden to eat by myself in this bed. But I got sick really fast because that's like a lot of Olive Garden. And it was mostly appetizers, which are super rich. And I was like, whatever, I'll save this and I'll enjoy it for like days to come.
There's no fridge.
I put it in the fridge. That's also freezing fucking cold. And I woke up and all of it was frozen. And you can't eat lettuce when it thaws. And it's just, I just was like, fuck it. Like, left it there. I was like, bye, guys. Thanks.
I'm in a mood.
You're doing great today. You're really living on the edge. She's been in isolation for 2 days. Honestly, for me, which I appreciate.
It's not even just for you. It's like, I would be embarrassed if I had to like do my, like call my homies and be like, listen, guys, sorry, I brought COVID into your life.
Oh my God, no, definitely not during the holidays.
Yeah, no.
I mean, stay as safe as possible.
Well, not ever. So, like, I don't ever want to be the girl that's like, hey, dude, sorry, I used all your straws and gave you lip herpes.
What are your plans for the holidays? What are you doing?
Not much. My fiance's mom is in town through the end of January because she decided to come out here and do the safe quarantine period before we all, mm-hmm. you know, she drove out here, brought her huge cat. I've never seen a cat so big in my life. we're probably just gonna, you know, go to her place. She brought all her Christmas decorations for the Airbnb. It's the cutest thing I've ever seen. She has decorated her Airbnb and she's like, this isn't even all of it. I'm like, it should be.
That's honestly iconic.
She's the cutest. Like, it kills me. She brought like red bed sheets to cover the couch at the Airbnb to make it like Christmassy. And she like what your brother used to do. She's like, well, I used this crate to bring some stuff. And she put it upside down and like bought at the 99 cent store a snowman blanket and covered it. So she has a Christmas ottoman and like,
I hope it rubs off on you because
I'm doing nothing.
How can you look at like Kylie Jenner's $1 million Christmas decor and not want some of it for yourself?
I live vicariously. I come here. I look at her Instagram. I really like Kendall's house this year too.
I was going down the list of like celebrities' houses on Christmas. They're like flying drones over or something, very invasive, to get you shots of the different Christmas decorations that all of these people have.
They don't have to do it. It's all over Instagram.
And in my head, right. But these are aerial shots. I don't think celebrities are flying drones above their own houses to get their own aerial shots to be like, look at my house. Come see, find me.
They could level up.
In my head, I'm that person that has 500 million Christmas lights on my property.
Yeah.
But we live in a space where nobody's driving by to appreciate it. Yeah. So I can't execute properly. And we also leave, like this year we are safely traveling to Colorado. We're getting tested before and after we get there. My parents have like their basement, which I also miss so much. There aren't basements in California, which is the biggest
rip-off. Yeah, you miss a basement. What the fuck are you doing in a basement?
Oh my God, basement? Are you freaking kidding me?
You're killing a lot of people in basements?
No, you grew up in California, so you just don't understand.
All I know about basements is they're for murder.
No, everyone's basements, when you finish them, are everything. Like, they're basically apartments. They're man caves or your she shed. Their downstairs is basically, it has a family room, two bedrooms, a bathroom, a kitchen.
Yeah.
So we'll be safely down there while we're, like, making sure that we're all okay, because my grandma is also there.
And you're privately traveling, though. Like, you're not going to, like, a massive...
We're
going to
stay very safe, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love that for you.
We haven't left the house in a year. I need to get out of here and go somewhere. And I feel so lucky that
you should have come visited me at my hotel room.
Honestly, I almost was like, I'm going to have to force you to stay here. And I'm more worried about the person that stayed at the hotel before you, not the hotel's standards and regulations.
It smelled a lot like bleach when I got in there. So I'm sure it was very clean. I didn't let the cleaning people come in and clean in between days just because I felt the same way.
Yeah.
Like, I saw Contagion. That bitch got it in that fucking hotel room. And I'm not going out that way.
That was the worst decision I ever made, to watch in the middle of a pandemic.
I mistook it for a different movie, which is more like in a Body Snatchers style movie. And I put it on. I was like, this isn't what I thought it was. And it was like 2 weeks into the quarantine, and I was like, I need to finish this because it has to have a happy ending. It doesn't. Like, it never gets better.
Hopefully for us with a vaccine, there is a happy ending. So what are your typical Christmas traditions? Did you have any as a kid that you carried on into adulthood?
I've carried nothing from my childhood into adulthood, gosh. Except for emotional trauma. But we did have a really cute little thing that we used to do back in the day. My grandpa Gordon would take all of our Christmas wishes and write them onto toilet paper and then put it into the fireplace. And then the embers that went through the chimney would, like, go to Santa.
That is cute, and I've never heard of that.
I think one of the last times I did that, no, not one of the last times, but, like, 6 or 7 years ago, I asked Santa for a, like, 6'2", blonde, large, manly man, and got Joe that
comes
year.
Walking into
got
your
Joe
door.
That year. I'm not even kidding. I asked for that bitch for Christmas.
You're a criminal for not carrying on that tradition.
I know that. I know that. I don't have children. What am I gonna do? Like, what Bubs and Jelly? What do you want for Christmas?
I gotta hand it to my mom in her traditions. Just that, like, she really did stick true, like making me carve a pumpkin until I was a sophomore in college, like making me come home to carve that pumpkin. And Christmas morning was always the best. My brother and I, like, she would not let us come down the stairs. upstairs until her video camera was rolling. I have 18 years of video camera footage of us opening Christmas presents, which I...
Vicky's the best.
I love so much. My brother and I would be so excited, and we just would like sleep in the same room trying to watch Rugrats because we couldn't fall asleep all night because we were so excited at the idea of walking downstairs and having our cookies been gone. Did you lay out cookies?
No. Well, me and my godmom used to make a bunch of sugar cookies that we would decorate, and she would do something a little bit like more British. Like instead of a stocking while I was sleeping, my godmom Kissy would bring in a bunch of presents and put it on like my nightstand.
Oh, that is
so
really
I'd
cute.
Wake up to presents there. Kissy was fucking Santa. Like I never believed in Santa. I knew Kissy was like the magic.
Oh, so you never, ever.
No, I just knew it was Kissy. Like, she was literally Santa. She would hear me say all year what I wanted, and I would wake up to every single item.
That's so cute.
It's crazy. Like, it's really crazy because no kid needs everything that they're asking Mm-mm. for. And like at the end of the day, it's like the thing that feels the most special is just being seen and heard by this woman who's like, I want you to have a great day.
And feel special.
Yeah.
I remember the moment I found out Santa wasn't real because I clocked my mom because when I was trying to find wrapping paper to wrap my presents, and I looked under her bed to get the wrapping paper because it was like in a bin, and I found one of the things I had asked for from Santa, and I ran in her bathroom. I was like, Mom, I fucking know you're Santa.
Shut up.
I like put her, I was like, I'm not leaving this room until you confess to me. I don't
Listen,
remember
you
how
lied,
old I
bitch.
Was. I know.
That's so crazy.
All right, you guys, we have such an exciting show for you today. We're actually going to call some of the people that watch this show to give in real time advice, which I'm over the moon about. And we're going to do some fun hot topics. But first, we have our very first sponsor. Can you believe it?
Wait, I didn't even know.
Yes.
Why don't you tell me anything?
No, I asked for your permission on this one specifically.
I know, but you didn't tell me it was
the
done and happening.
The timeline. Yeah, right before Christmas, I felt like I really wanted to get up and moving before I started putting ads in the show.
Yeah.
And so hopefully you guys are excited about this as well and can support them to support us in getting ads down the line. So it is Bright Cellars, which I'm very excited about. They're a subscription wine service. And if you know me, I am obsessed with wine. If you watch any of my main channel videos, I've always got a glass of
a
wine.
A little tumbler of white wine.
I'm like not the brightest tool in the shed because when I'm walking down the aisles at the grocery store, I have no idea what to choose. I'm like, okay, the bottom shelf's cheaper. Maybe I'll just do like one of the $10 ones and hope for the best. But this is a subscription service where you go on online, you answer 7 questions that takes like 30 seconds, and they send you an array of the most beautiful bottles of wines that explain them. And it also says like, maybe pair this wine with pasta. And I ordered Italian food the other night. I tried the pasta one and I was just like living my best Christmas spirit life.
It's also a great gift to give, right?
Yeah, because I did ask you because you're sober, you don't drink. And I was like, are you okay with this? And you're like, yes, because I would give this as a gift.
Oh, everybody in my life drinks. Like my mom would love this as a gift if I was the type of person who gave them.
And it is.
I would love to say I got my mom a subscription. Like maybe I fucking will. I don't know. We'll use the code.
What's cool about it is you rate each wine you get, so it gets more specific. And then if you hate one of the wines they send, you can actually return it and they'll replace it. So Bright Cellars is giving all of you 50% off of your first 6 bottle box if you go to brightcellars.com/thesip. Again, that is brightcellars.com/thesip for 50% off your first box of 6 bottles of wine. Thank you, Bright Cellars, so very much. Are you ready for hot topics?
Hot topics. It's not just a store anymore. I'm fine. I've had 4 shots of espresso at this point. I'm like,
oh my gosh, I'm spilling my
You're
coffee.
You're the fucking spiller.
All right, this is the perfect time to get into hot topics. There are officially aliens among us, allegedly. And I know you and I love officially, allegedly, we're being ruined by aliens.
I don't know that we're being ruined. If they've been here and they haven't heard us yet, I think that's a great sign. And you know I'm fucking scared.
Well, I know. And I'm normally the glass half full. I do think they're going to just benefit us, if anything.
I think they've been in charge this entire time. And I'm not tripping about it. Again, I'd like to reiterate, I love whatever simulation they are playing for me. I'm psyched with how my life is going. Please don't fuck this up.
All right. So Israel's former space security chief of 30 years, a very well-respected man, yeah. might I add, until maybe now, who knows how people will receive this information, claims that aliens exist, and apparently our President Trump knows it as well.
I don't know that they would let Trump know. I feel like that's something they'd definitely keep from him, just because he, like, pops off and says whatever the fuck he wants, tweets whatever he wants.
Well, I will note, a year ago, Trump did set up the Space Force as the fifth branch of the U.S. Armed Forces.
But it's also like, we've had, like, Space Force-esque things since, like, Reagan.
Okay, so this man claims that we've been in contact with what he calls the Galactic Federation for years. Apparently, Trump was ready to inform the public, but the Galactic asked him to hold off to avoid what he says is mass hysteria.
Do we really think that Trump would listen to anybody else?
I do think, had Trump known about this pre-election, that would have been one of his leading factors.
They would have killed him like they killed Kennedy and Marilyn Monroe. There's no way they're letting a motherfucker live who's like, I'm gonna tell your secrets, Galactic Nation.
Somebody's apparently delegating between the two, because they say that there is currently a secret underground base on Mars where the American and alien representatives are coexisting and working together.
Cool. Sounds great. Sounds like a great time.
I mean, my question is, like, what are we doing with the aliens? How are we working and interconnecting with them? And what the fuck does this mean for our future?
God, dude, I don't know. I just honestly think it means very little for our future. I think that's the case. Like, if this guy is coming forward and talking and the information that he has is legit, it's because they've decided it's time to, like, provide a little bit of information. And, like, their whole thing for the longest time was, like, we have to make the world feel like they're crazy if they provide proof of UFOs. But there's been proof of UFOs for years, for decades.
Right.
Like, maybe even centuries.
I mean, I'm excited to think about what could come from people on Earth working with people from who knows where and coming together underground on Mars. I'm never going to Mars. You're not going to catch me on Mars in 20
no,
years.
No, fuck that noise. I'm never leaving this planet unless I, like, have to. But, like, but I don't see that happening anytime
soon. I'd be
soon.
Down to interact with the aliens.
I don't want to interact with anyone. Like, I don't want to interact with anyone. I honestly feel like the only thing that could possibly come of this is, like, a great energy source that, like, kind of changes the dynamic of, like, how everybody works and, like, survives, and, like, life might become a little bit more. When we went from hunters and gatherers to, like, people who lived in, like, one village and, like, got to start exploring, like, the arts and, like, storytelling and, like, farming and shit like that. And, like, our civilization had a massive boost at that point in time. I honestly feel like with the introduction of, like, you're not crazy, aliens are real, we might see another shift in the way that, like, humanity evolves intellectually.
Well, yeah, because they have had to have been evolving on their own independently as we have evolved on our own. And if we can combine forces and merge those things, ooh, we're off in jetpacks, which I'm also fascinated by.
I'm just not trying to manifest, like, a War of the Worlds scenario, because that shit scares me. Like, in 2012, I used to walk around with a fifth of vodka on my person at all times. In case the world started ending, I could just get blackout drunk and not have to deal with it. Like, that's how scared I used to be. But now I live in a world of, like, it's gonna be great, we're gonna get new energy,
everything's fine, all right,
everything's fine. Aliens for Christmas.
Moving on to this Maud Santana drama. I'm gonna let you headline the story, because I honestly it was a lot.
Aliens and Maud Santana drama all in one day. Oh my. So basically, Tana came back to doing story times on her channel because she started losing followers because she was doing a David Dobrik style vlog instead,
which she didn't keep. She was like, I'm gonna have 3 vlogs a week. Yeah. And then she posted, like, 2. And I was
whatever,
like,
oh. Girl. It was cute. I didn't mind it personally. I watched them. I did think they were kind of fun.
I still have your clothes, Tana, if you're wondering. Come on the podcast. I'll give them back.
Let me have them. I'll give them back. Just kidding. So anyway, so she does the story time. And the story that I found the most interesting is, like, Tana and Maud Sun apparently were a romantic couple.
And Maud Sun is a music producer. He's produced a lot of Bella Thorne's music.
He's a music producer and a... he artist himself.
To date Bella Thorne?
He was dating Bella Thorne and Tana at the same time. And then he and Bella split up, and his relationship with Tana was not public. They were just best friends. She was just on tour with him and, like, in his tour bus and, like, at his house every day and, like, walking dogs with him and, like, not a couple, but, like, definitely a fucking couple.
Right.
And so I guess they broke up and it didn't go well. And so he wrote this song called Karma. He wrote a bunch of songs, like Stay Away From Me, Karma In My Bones. Like, they're all about Tana. And apparently she really hurt this man.
I will say, I do like the song.
I like the song too. I think it's a bop.
It's bringing me back to Blink 182. And Machine Gun Kelly is doing that as well. There hasn't been
they
like
work this together
era. He produced the song, did you say?
I don't know that he produced the song, but I do know that Machine Gun Kelly directed the music video for it. And bringing it back to Tana, she decided to go out for dinner one night at Boa Steakhouse because that's what cool people do. I wouldn't know. I've never been. But she like calls ahead and she's like, yo, can I get a private area for me and my boys? And they're like, yeah, there's only one other private party there tonight. So like, you'll be alone. There's celebrities too. No one's going to bother you. She sits down and her friends are like, yo, you okay, dude? And she's like, why wouldn't I be okay? And she like turns around, fucking Maude's son standing on a chair behind her. And she's like, let's just go.
With Machine Gun Kelly.
With Machine Gun Kelly, Megan Fox, whoever the new famous person that Maude's son's dating with. Which, and I don't have any proof of this, I think is either Demi Lovato or Avril Lavigne. Not that it's our fucking business, but I do think that, because apparently his new girlfriend is an A-lister and like that could be Avril Lavigne if the year was 2008, but it's not.
So the question is like, what would you do if you ran into your toxic ex?
It gets worse though, because after she sees him, she gets up and all of her friends get up from the table to leave. And as she's leaving, he starts scream singing the lyrics of his song Karma about her at her back while she leaves, which is, and I think the lyrics are something like, I hope you choke on every lie that you ever said to me. I hope you move out of this city suddenly. I hope you get everything that you deserve because karma's a bitch, I've heard.
Wow. I want to see Megan Fox in this scenario. I just want to see her like opening her purse while Maude's son's screaming at Tana.
I mean, like, realistically, I don't think that whole table was petty enough to be screaming it at Tana. I think they were probably just having their single release party and singing the song at, do you know what I mean? And it was just horrible timing. Cause like, I don't know, that's a level of petty that like I could totally get behind, but like it takes a psycho person to do some shit like that.
Yeah. And who knows what Tana and them did in their relationship, but have you ran into a toxic ex boyfriend, a friend in real life? And what do you do?
Have you?
Well, you were like, do you even have toxic relationships?
Yeah, I was like gonna say.
And I was like, my only friend breakup ever was with you.
But we got back together.
We did. Well, I guess, no, I had two friend breakups because I broke up with you over aligning with a friend that I had broken up with.
Right. And then you and I didn't talk for like maybe a decade. And then one day.
Decade? No.
I don't know.
Like 3 years.
Was it 3 years?
Were you hurt?
I haven't even been here that long. I was hurt.
I honestly
was the one that hit you up afterwards and I was like, hey, I don't like this. I miss you. Can we go hiking?
And then I slowly integrated you back into my life. We started by like hiking once a month. And then I was
we started by hiking once a year. But I did miss you. I hate everyone here.
Well, I felt that you chose somebody. We were besties and you chose somebody that you didn't really know over me because you guys were like riding together.
Well, to be fair, the way that that whole relationship crumbled with you and this third party, we'll call them Max. But I didn't know how severely toxic this ex-friend of yours was because it seemed kind of petty to me. And in my mind, I could have both. You know what I mean? Like I could have a private relationship with this man and a private relationship with you. And looking back on it, I now realize that you were so upset, almost in a super protective way.
Well, yeah.
Because you knew something that I didn't know.
Well, it wasn't just me. He had been dropped by 4 or 5 of my other friends because they had also rubbed them all the wrong way as well.
I mean, it just took me, you know, getting abused and used to come to that conclusion myself. But even, I think you and I started talking again before I dumped him.
Yeah, you guys were still working together because I had gotten over it. That would be the only person that it might be awkward if I had run into in the past. Now it's like so far behind me that I would just say like, hi, how are you? But back then, it's like, that would be my fear of running into a toxic ex.
Yeah.
But speaking of guidelines, Instagram did make their guidelines more clear recently saying,
did they?
Butts are out. Like you'll get removed if you push your butt.
Yeah.
But you can breastfeed. You can show stretch marks or lines.
Yeah. I am confused about how this is going to go down. Like, are there just going to be a shit ton of more jobs at Instagram where people all day are just looking at butts like, well, this butt has enough stretch marks to be valid on the platform. This butt's a little bit too soft for us to have posted online. It looks too good and voluptuous. Like, what's going on?
And what's
going
to happen with dick wiggling? It's up for debate.
Dick wiggling's fine. Nobody said shit about dick wiggling on this, right? It's all about ladies' butts, breastfeeding, and if you've got stretch marks, it's cool, but whatever, like, what?
And see, I feel as though dick wiggling is porn the same way that I feel when you can see a girl's full nipple through her shirt is kind of porny. Like, I've been watching a lot of 90s television shows.
Yeah, there's a lot of nipples in that. Like, Rachel, baby toe nipples.
Rachel Green and Friends, I can always see, like, her hard. And I'm like, this is like, if I was a straight man in the 90s, I'd be aggressively jacking off to her nipples feels like very pornographic. And the same with, like, I was watching Dawson's Creek and they do the same shit.
It's
and
a
I
lot
was
of
like,
nipple.
Was this a thing of the time where they were like, take off your bra. Let's get you really
cold. Have you seen Showgirls?
No.
Okay. There's a movie called Showgirls from the, I think, early 90s. And like, there's a scene literally where this girl's like a showgirl in Vegas and they walk down the line of showgirls with all their feathers and their tops off and shit with a tray of ice. And this girl has to put ice on her nipples to make them extra hard.
Well, that's what I imagine. Like, yeah. Jennifer Aniston being like, hold on, Tom. Like, don't roll the camera. I gotta ice my nipples real quick. And then they're like putting the shirt over.
The camera's name is Tom.
I mean, I live for it, but it does feel a little pornographic. So then you brought to my attention, it's sweatpants season.
Yeah, you can see full, I can tell if you're circumcised, I can tell if you're not. I can see the whole, like, I can see the head outline of your penis. I can see the veins on it if you're throbbing.
And
like, what the fuck?
You're a celebrity. And you know that you regularly get paparazzi'd walking in your neighborhood or going to your local Starbucks. It's a choice to not wear underwear.
Yeah, put some fucking panties on. What are you doing?
Because, like, I walk around my own house with no underwear under my sweatpants. Because, well, yes, because it's more comfortable. But I'm very aware that my dick is flopping around.
Oh, my God.
And when I walk my dogs, I put on some fucking underwear because I don't want to offend my neighbors.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yes.
It's crazy.
But these celebrities, knowing that they're going out, they're like, dick out for the show. Do they want the pop? Maybe I should go to Boa Steakhouse
with
in sweatpants without underwear just to see what kind of publicity
get. Can I go with you and can I wear sweatpants and bring one of my fake dicks?
No, I want you to wear a spaghetti strap and ice your nipples.
See, here's the deal. I'd want fake nipples because I'm not a nipple girl.
Imagine us holding hands, your nipples hard as rocks, my penis just
flailing
through my
sweatpants. Should we do that today?
That's a good visual for the podcast viewers.
Are you busy, Chris? Wait, should
we? I have the Hollywood Fix on text message. She asks me every day when I'm coming to
Boa. I have my luggage out back. Like, low key, should we do this? And should we get, like, I'll chew up some bubble gum and, like, put it on so my nips look hella hard and, like, not wear a bra with it if you're down.
I'm into it. What do you wear to bed? I mean,
what the fuck?
Not that I saw, this is something, this is like a segue, but I had seen, like, Trish post
this
on
Instagram. This is a segue.
On Instagram, she was like, just curious, what do you guys wear to bed? And I was like, oh, that is interesting. Because, like, Shane and
Trish
I have varying, like, sleep attire.
Yeah, what do you wear?
Nothing.
Oh.
I would feel
what
insane.
If there's a fire?
Doesn't matter.
Home invader.
It doesn't matter
you're
where
trying
I'm
to
at.
Get in some Eastern
I'll be
promises
at my parents'
knife
house
fight?
For Christmas and I'm still naked in the bed.
Jesus.
I mean, the sheets are clean.
It's not about that. It's about the threat.
I can't comfortably, like, live my life and sleep comfortably if I have boxers
suffocating
me.
I mean, I bet you shower fully nude too, huh?
Bet so.
What if someone tries to come at you with a knife while you're in there?
You're telling me you don't sleep naked.
I don't sleep naked. I don't shower naked. I do nothing
Beyonce
naked. I haven't seen my vagina in 20 years.
Hopefully you go to your OBGYN and it's clear.
What's that? I sleep in that. I love that pajama set I got from... Fuck, I'm the worst influencer. I don't even know who sent me these pajamas. But they are made of bamboo. They're really nice.
So you sleep in pajamas. I'm bored.
Oh my God, you're such a bitch.
Okay, we have a lot to get to, so I'm not cutting you off. I'm not being rude to you.
I think just saying that doesn't make it not true.
That is funny. Yeah, okay, I'm fucking rude.
And this is a segue!
This is why it's the last episode ever, motherfuckers. When we don't come back in the
I'm
new
leaving.
Year, it's because I can't handle the comments. They're like, he's so rude to Lizzie. Can we address the thumbnails?
Yeah.
Are you offended that you're a little bit smaller?
No, I don't even notice.
And the thing is,
I get text messages from you all the time being like, are you okay with the thumbnail? I'm like, I don't give a fuck what the thumbnail looks like.
People get really concerned about it in the thumbnail. And listen, I know the people that already watched the show love you.
Yeah.
They're watching just as much for you as they're watching for me. I'm not oblivious to that.
Yeah, thank you for admitting
However,
it finally.
when we're still trying to build out the show, you don't have a previous internet platform. It has
My
nothing
parents
to do,
are watching. I brought an audience.
It has nothing to do with your abilities or how wonderful you are
no.
on the show. Most would argue you're better than me on the show.
I would
However,
say a lot would argue.
I'm more familiar to a lot of people scrolling on the internet, so it makes it, from a marketing standpoint, it just is what it is for now.
Yeah.
In a couple of months, You'll be the only one in a thumbnail.
I feel like you're mad at me about this, and I still don't give a shit.
Okay, rapid fire hot topics. Kardashians are moving to fucking Hulu. Yeah, really quick. Kardashians are moving to Hulu. I called it. I knew these fuckers were leaving E because they wanted a bigger paycheck. E is over party. They have no more shows that I want to watch. They canceled E! News. The Kardashians are not coming back. It's like, why even go there anymore? My theory is they wanted to cut Ryan Seacrest out of the executive producer role because he's cutting a fat check of what they make. So now if they go to Hulu by themselves, they're making all the money themselves. And here's my other issue. If they're now all executive producers on the show, is it going to be as real as it once was? I'm also going to watch now. I don't watch right now because it's too hard for me to go to YouTube TV, hit the recordings, where on Hulu, I can find it available at any time.
This is the most crazy I've ever seen you.
I've never had this much caffeine in my life.
Okay. I'm sobbing and I have to pee and I need a cigarette.
Do you have anything to add to the Kardashians?
I'm scared to.
Great. Taylor Swift released an album. I gotta say,
I don't know why you're doing this.
Taylor Swift's new album. I gotta say, I was fully satisfied with the last one.
I loved it.
I came to full terms with, I listen to it every day. It's my top listened to album of the year. Spotify tells me, I know. I didn't need another album. I'm going to accept the album because it cost me nothing, but I'm just not as excited as I once was. Do we need to break down? What's going on?
I need to pee. I need to smoke a cigarette. This is the most intense I've ever seen you in a fucking 10 years. I'm literally crying.
Okay, have you heard the Taylor Swift album?
No, I haven't because I can't remember my Apple login and I restored my phone because I had to update it for the new update or whatever.
Last thing I'll say is I'm also crazy about new music. I'll look over at Shane and be like, I hate it. They shouldn't have released it. And then in a week, I'm like, this is my most played song of the year. So that's just
it's
me.
It's almost like you've just tried cocaine for the first time. I've never heard that noise come out of your body. And it's really like, it feels, what are you doing?
I'm going to be addicted to caffeine in 5 seconds.
I'm okay. So scared for Shane to see this footage and be like, honey, what
I'm
is going
so
on?
I'm so ready to give people advice. When we come back, we're giving motherfuckers advice in real time. I hope I don't ruin their lives. I'm going to be really calm.
Do you need a cigarette?
Maybe.
Go for a walk. We're going to take a little walk around the house.
I normally don't drink espresso and I had coffee and espresso. I'm like really like, maybe this is what it's like to be on coke. Never tried it.
Oh my God.
We'll be back.
We'll take their
comment mark. You literally have lipstick on your strand of hair. That's.
I knew this was gonna happen. God, okay. Which where? No, hold on. Not okay.
We took a break and I.
Oh my God! There's no coming back from. It's all through the hair.
Just swipe it down.
This is. I can't just swipe it down.
This crazy energy is something else from both of us. When we were on our little break, Lizzie literally sent me a photo of her peeing mine. The shed, which I'm going to share with them. You can't send me something like that.
I figured you would. Why do you think I looked cute?
Oh, how many takes did you do?
Two.
Honestly, I would pay for that photo.
Oh my God, wait, should we charge? Is this the start of the OnlyFans? It's
really
just me.
Good.
I've been joking about this.
I've officially decided I'm going to limit my caffeine intake.
Yeah, I don't think you're okay. I've never in all of my years with you seen you this fucking hyped. I love it. I'm living for it. I feel bad that I love you so altered. After this, do you want to dye these strands green with me?
You mean color them with marker?
No,
like
I'm talking about
before?
Do you want to get some punk hair dye and dye my strands green with me?
I love you, but I have to edit this show.
Today?
Ugh, we're on
you
a
work
tight,
so hard for us.
We're on a tight turnaround. Okay, our first caller of the day. Let's try to connect her on the phone.
I'm getting responses from that pee-pee picture.
You've already sent it out?
Yeah, I sent it to all my friends. You know I do this. I edited it for some.
Oh my gosh, you can hear it. I'm honestly kind of nervous. You know, like I've never called somebody to give them advice.
I mean, you also have like so much caffeine in your system.
I'm going to be cool.
Is it ringing? Did you hit send?
I'm going to right now. Are you ready?
I guess I'm going to. This is what's going to make me faint on air. I'm sweating like I'm going to faint. I don't know where to put these legs anymore.
I'm so nervous.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic.
Is that personal?
First one declined.
I didn't need this kind of rejection after taking a piss behind the shed and dealing with whatever I'm dealing with today. Like, what? You don't know how much it takes out of me to do that squat behind the shed. Like, I'm not an able-bodied person. Cameraman's losing it. The ship's sinking. I'm gonna go join Ethan on Frenemies.
Oh my gosh. Hello, this is Ryland and Lizzie.
You're lying.
No. Swear.
Shut the fuck up.
No, it's
You're
us.
Lying.
How are am
it's my YouTube friend. Shut the fuck up. I'm so excited.
Thank you so much for answering your phone. I'm so excited to talk with you. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on and your situation and why you need advice?
Okay. So I've been with this guy for like 15 years. We're not married, but we say we're married. But, you know, because after 15 years, I feel like I deserve that title.
It's like common law, probably.
I have never seen his feet before. It's weird, huh?
Is he like, hiding them from you?
Wait, you've never seen his what? Like,
his feet.
What?
Feet. Ever,
wait, hold on. Hold on. You've been with this man for 15 years and you've never seen his bare feet?
Ever.
What?
Well,
yes, it's weird.
Is he hiding them from you or it's never happened?
From me, from everybody. He don't show anybody.
What?
He goes into the bathroom. He goes into the bathroom with his socks and shoes on, and then he comes out the same way.
Are you lying?
I'm dead ass serious. I wish I was lying.
You guys have never been to a swimming pool together or an event?
He don't get in there.
You've never been on a boat or in a lake? Like, does he wear water shoes?
No, he goes. So we own a boat, but he don't get in the water. He goes in his like gym shoes.
And so when you guys are intimate, does he just wear socks?
Just socks.
And have you confronted your man about this? Like, hey, man, I want to see your feet. Like, are you?
Yes.
What does he say?
And nothing. I will never see him. I said, when you die, you're going to haunt me because I'm ripping them bad boys off.
No, like, I'm going to sound like. Nicole, like this, like there's no, for 15 years, this man has had socks on.
Well, okay. There might be something going on that he doesn't want. Like I've had a plantar wart before and it took like a year to get away.
Yeah, but I wouldn't hide a plantar wart for 15 years.
Well, I like going to yoga and I hid from my yoga studios because I didn't want anyone to like be looking at my feet thinking like, oh, like I'm not saying your husband's gross, but my perception was other people were thinking I was gross because of this. And maybe he is like, I don't ever want to give you a reason maybe to not be sexually attracted.
I mean,
to
15
me, or...
years is a long time to hold that boundary. I'm sorry.
I know. So, I don't know what to do. I kind of want to just rip him off and run.
I just can't believe that he doesn't give you like an appropriate excuse as to why he's doing this.
If you guys have a healthy relationship, sorry to cut you off, but like if you know that your relationship is solid in every other aspect, what's the probability of like before he wakes up in the morning, you kind of peeling it off and then it's too late? Like it's too far, too gone. You've already seen what's going on before he can.
I've tried every move, like, oh, my feet are cold, and I was kind of trying to dig, like, my feet into his sock and try to rip it off really quick. He's like, I don't even know, like a ninja, because he's super quick and pulls them right back on.
Yo, I'm not trying to advocate for, like, dosing your partner, you want to slip that motherfucker some Z-Quil, knock his ass out real quick and check them things.
That is not advice you should take. However,
I gotta know.
Maybe you guys should
I want pictures, Nicole. When you knock this bitch out, I want pictures of those feet, because I gotta know what he's hiding.
Over the holidays, maybe just get a little too drunk, if you're not sober, and just be like, come on, show me the feet. Or if he's in the other room, let's just confront this head on.
Yeah, go get him right now. What the
we won't be mean. No, Lizzie, this is aggressive.
Is it aggressive? I'm so sorry, Nicole. I'm shook by this information.
If we're so honored to speak with your partner of 15 years, we'll be very caring. Do you think he would be open to talking to us if we gently ask him what's going on?
No, he wouldn't. He would not. He'd be like, let me hang up.
no pressure on it then.
When he takes a shower or when I take a shower, you know how like you want to go in and you really quickly pee or something like that. Like I've never even, he just likes his personal space, but I don't know what to do about it.
Is he afraid of your feet? Like, does he have a foot phobia in general?
No, I don't think so.
You could.
I don't know.
I don't want to speak for you, but like aside from a tattoo on his foot, that's like literally him admitting to murder. There's probably not something that's going to completely alter your love or your lust for a man that you've been with for 15 years, right?
No, absolutely not. Like his brother said when they were younger, he used to have really bad hangnails, but I don't know how true that is. And he would be like, don't listen to him. He's crazy, but I don't know.
Has his brother
seen
his feet? Has his brother seen his feet?
When they were younger. but not anymore. Like, he don't literally touch water, so he don't have to take off his shoes or his socks.
I do wonder if you approached it very, very lovingly, like, hey, baby, I gotta let you know something. It has been weighing on my mind for 15 years why you're uncomfortable with me seeing your feet. I love every part of your body, and there's not something I could ever reject about you. Can I please know what you've been hiding?
And if it is something that he views as problematic or something that he doesn't want people to see, he's probably more exhausted than you are, honestly, yeah, hiding them at all times from not only you, but everyone in his life. So it's like you could be there to offer support in going to the correct foot doctor or whatever it might be, yeah, that he's dealing with. I think getting to the root of the situation in a loving space, being like, I've always been on your team, I want to help, but I also like need this to move forward in our relationship.
Yeah.
So just say that.
Yeah.
I would, but approach it with so much love, like so much love. And really,
like, should I do it after like suck him off and then like, you know, laying in bed?
Listen, Nicole, I don't know what your love what your and his love language is, but if that's it, then maybe. I just like, there's parts of my body that I'm mortified by, and I'm not even going to name them. I'm so embarrassed by them. But my fiance has a very sweet way of like noticing when I'm hiding something about my body, and he'll really kindly like say, you know, I think that's so hot. Like, I love that part of your body. Like, oh, you're perfect. Like, really nice things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it really opens me up to being like, oh, thank you for saying that. Like, I've actually been hiding the fucking my armpits for decades.
Yeah,
like, thank
say,
you for embracing my armpits.
And that is the thing that will set you and him both free, because in my relationship with Shane as well, the things that I always hated about myself were things that he always validated and then would say, actually, those are reasons I fell in love with you. And that makes me love Shane even more. So I think the most loving approach you can take, but from a genuine standpoint, not like, I need to see your feet, like, let me rip your socks off, more like,
yeah,
I want to be a part of your life and I want to help you with whatever it is you're struggling with.
Yeah.
And then send us pictures.
See, I never even thought about it that way. I just thought about just like ripping them off after asking them so many times.
Right. I mean, I get it. I would be, I'm impatient, and
yeah,
I've only known about this for a few minutes now.
And I think you can express your, like, I have approached this wrong in the past because it's felt like such a secret, but I want you to know it's coming from this place and this is why. But
yeah,
hopefully you can have that conversation with him, and hopefully he feels comfortable enough to open up with you, and hopefully you'll email me back and tell me what's going on, Nicole.
Yeah, I gotta know, Nicole.
Thank you.
It feels like my business
I'm
now.
I'm definitely gonna try. Yeah, I'm gonna try.
Nicole, we appreciate you so much. Thanks for calling or answering our phone call.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing your story with us, and I really can't wait to hear how it goes, and good luck, and a lot of love to you and your mans.
Thank you. I can't wait to see the next episode.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Bye.
All right, you guys, before we go, I thought we would do a quick year in review, just a little check-in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to stop you there. I know you're on a great flow, but you really fucking caught me off guard with your hot topics, hot takes, itch. And I really wanted to talk about, why does this always happen to me, the farter?
Oh, Rudy Giuliani.
Rudy Giuliani farting on air. I really wanted to talk about it. It's the funniest thing I've seen in a long fucking time. I can't get over it. I like died laughing out loud. That, but honestly, Rudy Giuliani farting and having it caught on the mic made me laugh as hard as I laughed while you were losing your mind. It's like the woman who's sitting next to him and just goes, and like looks for a friend.
Yeah.
She like starts in her seat and like her eyes get big and she just stares at him like with a whip stare, and then she like looks around for somebody else to like feel the moment with her, but she's so alone in the fact that she's sitting next to one of America's biggest leaders that just ripped ass and was caught on the fucking mic, and
maybe
he just keeps going like a sociopath as if nothing's happened. Like,
it's embarrassing. You think
it
he
is
wants to acknowledge it? Maybe he had a raging stomach ache and he just thought releasing it would
probably
let go some of the
and he's a man of a certain age. But I will say this, when I was at summer camp at UCLA, I was doing a scene study with this girl and she ripped ass loud, and I didn't know how to handle it. Like, sometimes in those situations I would try to blame it on the other person, even if it's just two of us there. Like, I'll die on that fucking hill. And this girl just went, excuse me, my stomach's not feeling great, and all the weirdness evaporated from the room. All Giuliani had to do was be like, Did I do that? Like, just a quick Urkel moment, just so that everybody in the room doesn't have to feel like a fucking weirdo knowing that you'd ripped ass on the mic.
It's a hard thing to own up to, but I do agree. It would take away the weirdness if you just
the poor,
took accountability. Like most things in life, take accountability, and most of the times, 9 out of 10 times, you're fine.
And that's our advice, though.
That's our advice, though. What had the biggest positive impact on your life this year?
Okay. One of the most positive impacts on my life this year was you. And you literally, I'm not being weird. Don't sigh at me like that.
I didn't sigh.
It felt like there was a shrug and a sigh.
No, that's very wonderfully, beautifully nice.
I wish you had received it a little bit better.
Just kidding. Tell me why you love me and why I'm such a blessing.
Well, no. So here's the deal. So like this year, a lot of things shifted and changed for me. I was presented with a lot of opportunities that I feel so incredibly blessed to have that I feel like I've been working towards like my entire adult life. And a lot of times when I'm faced with success or opportunity, I have this self-discriminating response, which demands that I put myself lower than I'm worth.
Right.
And I think that that's really toxic, and it's something that's really a hard habit to break, believing that you're not worthy. And every time I've had one of these opportunities arise, I call you for support, and you are 100% of the time like, Lizzie, this is your value. You're worth it. This is what you ask for. This is what you deserve. And it is not weird for you to ask or get these things that you are requesting, because it's what your work is worth.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that. And now, like, because I don't have an agent team or whatever, like all I have is an attorney who like looks at my contracts. Uh-huh. I have to advocate for myself. And it is so empowering to get on these calls with these people and just be like, not today, honey. Like, I saw The Last Dance and I will not be Scottie Pippen. And this is what my contract is worth. And if you want me, you pay my fee.
And yeah, it's very important, no matter what kind of job you're in or after, to know what you're worth. Do the research, do the work, and figure that out, because everyone, every business, every employer is trying to get the most for the least.
Yeah.
And so you really need to step up and speak out for yourself, as hard as that may be. As if your voice is trembling, it doesn't matter. The more times you do it, the better you're going to get at it. And you just have to realize everyone's trying to fuck you over, so you have to stand up for yourself.
Exactly. And just hearing your voice saying exactly that in the back of my head while I'm talking to these people who are holding my dreams in their hands, mm-hmm. like empowers me to not be like, I'll do it for free.
Which is
I'm grateful
so...
for the opportunity. Mm-hmm. Like, that's fucked. Nobody should be working for free, even if it's your dream job. It's called a job.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing it in exchange for your livelihood.
And
that's
guess what?
It.
Everything... Like, even if it is your dream job, in 5 months from now, it will be your real job, and regular problems will arise. And like, yes, you're so blessed to do what you love, but if you accepted to do it for half your rate, you're going to be kicking yourself and miserable. So
yeah,
own up to it.
So I loved that from you. So thank you.
Thank you. I've learned it from being fucked over so many times in my life. on a business standpoint. For me, I wanted to answer, how did your self-perception change this year? And I think this year, more than most, I've had to do a lot of reflecting. And I think in hard times, everyone's having a hard time this year. That's when you take a step back, because you're jolted into thinking about it. And on the negative side of it, I've become a lot more sensitive. And I'm like, I'm worried about everyone and everything at all times. And I've never been an overthinker where I leave a situation, I'm like, oh, I'm overthinking more than ever, because I think I'm more in tune with how others around me are feeling. And it's so annoying for me. But but on the other end of that, I think like through meditation and taking a breath, I have become more in tune with myself and what I want and where I want to go. And I've weed out a lot of things that don't matter to me.
Weed out?
Sure.
Is weeded a past tense word?
We don't know.
Here's why we need a producer.
Okay, we've done 11 episodes and you're surprised that I'm making up words?
No, I'm just surprised that there is a word that I'm not entirely sure what you meant. Like, usually I can decipher what it is you were searching for or attempting, but like in this, I'm positive in this one. Actually, now I know it's weeded. I'm not stumped.
New Year's resolutions for me, getting great guests on this podcast. I want to go above and beyond in trying to get some mainstream celebrities on this podcast. Of course, other YouTubers. I just want to really build it out and have conversations with fascinating people that I may have never had contact with before.
I want to talk to that guy, David Politis, who met Bigfoot.
Well, yeah, you have access, right?
Yeah, I know where he lives.
Well, we'll be knocking on his door next year.
Going through his trash.
What's your New Year's resolution?
Joe and I have been talking about getting hypnotized to quit smoking.
Talking about, I sparked that.
I know you sparked it, but now Joe and I are talking about it.
Okay, so now it's a duo thing where I have to get you both hypnotized and then you're coming on the podcast.
No, but if you want to, I'm not going to turn that down.
Honestly, that's a 2021 episode. I'm going to get you guys both hypnotized, bring that man here, and we're all going to talk about it. All right, you guys. Well, thank you so much for watching and enjoying the sip this year. This honestly has been the most positive, happy, successful thing in my life this year. And we're so happy that we get to do this. Sometimes I'm like, wow, this gets to be a job.
I can't believe it. Yeah, this is the sickest job I've ever had. Everyone's like, what do you think about it? I'm like, well, it's the best job I've ever had. And I've had some good jobs.
All right, you guys. You can follow The Sip on Instagram at The Sip Official. We're also on there personally. I would say we'd be here every Wednesday, but we'll be gone for 2 weeks. Please remember,
living our lives.
We'll be back the first week of January, I think it is. After the first, after New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
I think it doesn't matter. Yeah. Maybe fourth, I don't know.
All right, you guys, thank you so much for watching and supporting the show. We will see you next year.
Oh my God, my stomach just dropped like the ball on your ear. And that's the sip. I really appreciated your little indicator.
Yeah. All right. Goodbye.